Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying You Are Secure, Know Who You Are in Christ, Part 2, based on the book Your Identity in Christ by Neil T. Anderson. In this session, we'll be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. Know that the battle is won. Let's look at our text. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is seated at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. If God isn't out to get us, then who is? Well, the answer is Satan. A missionary returned to his home in Africa only to find a huge python inside. He ran back to his truck and he got his .45 caliber pistol. He went to his home and carefully entered through the door. The man aimed with precision and fired a single shot into the snake's head. It was a mortal blow to the reptile, but it didn't die instantly. The missionary retreated from his house as the snake thrashed violently. The tremendous power of the snake's movement broke and damaged many items within the home. And the house finally became silent. And he slowly entered the house to find the snake dead. The interior of the home was a disaster, as the snake had unleashed all its fury in those moments of dying before death. But now, there was peace. At Good Samaritan Regional Medical Center in Phoenix, Arizona, a patient was admitted who was bitten by a snake while gardening. The man had cut off a rattlesnake's head with his shovel. When he bent down to pick up the snake's head, it bit him. Snakes have a reflex action that continues even after being killed. A decapitated rattlesnake can still bite up to an hour after death. Satan is called the serpent in Scripture. He is still dangerous, even though Christ has delivered a fatal blow 2,000 years ago. He is unleashing a few remaining destructive blows. His fate is sealed. But we need to be spiritually alert until his end is complete. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God, of our God, and the power of Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren who accuse them before our God day and night has been cast down. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Blindness for the unsaved. Deception for the believer. Satan is the father of lies. John chapter 8, verse 44. You, Jesus said, are of your father the devil, and desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And yet, we often function with a blindfold on, not recognizing the enemy. We attack each other. Well, our text deals with another form of spiritual warfare we need to be aware of. And it deals with three questions. First of all, where is the battlefield? Well, it's in our mind. Verse 33 and verse 34, the first parts of it. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he who condemns? It is a war waged with condemnation. The answer to the first question is Satan. The answer to the second question is also Satan. Satan can't do anything about our position in Christ. But if he can get us to believe it's not true, then we'll live as though it's not. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Satan doesn't tell the truth. He gives thoughts like, I'm stupid, I'm no good, I'm ugly, God doesn't love me, I can't be forgiven for that, Christianity doesn't work for me. Recognize sin, confess it, seek forgiveness. You must also forgive yourself. Who condemns? Satan. Who justifies? God. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Second, where was the battle decided? So the battle's in our mind, but where was the battle decided? At the cross. Look at the second part of verse 33 and verse 34. It is God who justifies. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. On October 7th, 1916, Georgia Tech played Cumberland University in what is recorded as the highest scoring football game in history. Georgia Tech set a record of 32 touchdowns while racking up 222 points. Cumberland never scored a point. In fact, they didn't make a first down. Listen, compared to Jesus' defeat of Satan, that game was close. Let me explain it another way. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? And now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Joshua, the high priest, was in filthy clothes, representing the sins of the people. Satan was on hand to accuse him. Who does God rebuke? What does God proclaim? Well, look at verse 2 again. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now, let's come forward to the believer today. Imagine the scene, a courtroom in heaven. Who's the judge? Well, God the Father. Who are the accused? Believers. Who's the prosecutor? Satan. Who's the defense attorney? Jesus Christ. Can we lose? No. Why is that? Well, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus approaches the judge, his father, and says, look at my side, my hands, my feet. My sacrifice was sufficient. I died once for all. What can Satan do? Nothing. Can he decide the verdict? No. Can he determine the sentence? No. All Satan can do is bring charges and make accusations. Nothing more. And third, where is the believer's strength for the battle? In Christ. Verses 31 and 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God builds us up and tells us to build each other up. Who's trying to destroy our relationship with God? Satan. Tear us down? Satan. Accuse us day and night? Satan. How do I know the difference between Satan's accusation and the Holy Spirit's conviction? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. I'm glad you're in the conviction of God and that you're feeling sorry. Sorrow. Why? Because it will lead to repentance and forgiveness, no condemnation. Notice that the same word, sorrow, brings very different results. Yet they may even feel the same. One brings life, the other death. Peter and Judas. Peter betrayed Jesus. And then he was sorrowful. And he repented. And then he was restored. Judas betrayed Jesus. He had some sorrow, but it didn't produce repentance. He hung himself. Peter, betrayal, sorrow, repentance, to life. Judas, betrayal, sorrow, suicide, to death. Listen, you can settle it once for all. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you're disqualified? Are you a Christian? How do you know? Where's your trust? Have you been regenerated? Are you saved by the cross of Calvary? Or are you attempting salvation by way of religion? Doing things. The wages of sin is death, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus, because he loves us. John told us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave us Jesus out of his love, and his love was demonstrated in that Jesus went to the cross and died for us so that God could forgive us because of the righteousness of Christ and his sacrifice, taking the death penalty as our substitute. God demonstrated his love toward us in that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And we just need to, trusting that Jesus died for us and rose from the dead, confess that. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Is Jesus Christ your personal Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive you your sins? Have you asked Him to be your Savior? To give you eternal life rather than punishment and eternal death in hell? Have you done that? Is Jesus your Savior and Lord? You have a great day.